Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the big goals that we all have for ourselves is unlocking our true potential. And that comes in many different forms. For some people, it's writing a book. For other people, it's launching a 6-figure business. But we all have different goals and we want to unlock our potential. So that's why in today's episode, we are going to talk about a roadmap that you can use for embracing your true potential. And the person who's going to talk with us about that today is a transformational teacher who inspires, empowers, and guides people to live authentically, purposefully, and powerfully from their hearts. He's trained thousands of people from Singapore, Europe, Canada, Malaysia, Vietnam, Australia, and all across the United States. And he uniquely bridges the worlds of business, psychology, and spirituality to facilitate massive and lasting personal and professional transformation. Today's guest for episode 260 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Adam Markle. Adam, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, it's a pleasure for me to be with you today. Glad to be able to support.
Adam, I'm happy to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And one of the things that I want to do before we go deep into being able to tap into our true potential is a little background. So I know you have a book called Pivot, and I'm wondering if you can just give us some background about that book and why you wrote it.
Absolutely. So the book really was birthed out of my own painful experience. I think one of the things that's more common than we'd like to believe is that people don't often change unless there's pain. Pain is a great catalyst for making changes in our lives. And it certainly was the case for me. So I was an 18-year veteran of a profession that I didn't love. I woke up in the morning, typically put my feet on the floor and wanted to just get back, crawl back in bed. I would often start the day with this feeling of dread or anxiety, just a lack of enthusiasm for what I was about to do. I spent 18 years as an attorney, and I'm sort of a recovering attorney. It's a bit of a joke with friends and family now. I'm sort of recovered, I'd say, because it's been 10 years since I used to do that. But for so long, I did just get up and feel this lack of enthusiasm. And I did that year after year, as a lot of people do, until I just couldn't stand it anymore. And ultimately, I started to read some books and started to look at what my options were. I was in my late 30s, and I had been married for many, many years. In fact, just recently celebrated my 29th anniversary with my wife, and she's the love of my life, an absolute incredible support, and just an angel in my world. And I've known her since college. We have 4 kids, healthy kids. Everybody's doing well. And I had a lot to be grateful for. I certainly was very successful. I had 2 offices in New York and in New Jersey, and my own boss and all that kind of thing. I had all the things that people would equate to success, except I felt like crap. So I couldn't quite get it. I didn't understand why I wasn't happy and why I was actually miserable and angry a lot of the time. But what I ultimately came to understand was that success without fulfillment feels like failure. And I did. I felt like a failure. And had to do something about it. Ended up making some small changes, not big ones. I didn't come home and tell my wife I was going to quit the practice of law. I did come home one night and look her in the eye and say, if I keep doing what I'm doing, you're going to be a widow. And that was was one of those moments that I'll never forget. I know that she won't either. And ultimately, she looked at me and she said, listen, we're going to figure this out. She didn't say to me, hey, by the way, we've got 2 houses, cars, kids, gerbils, goldfish. You know, you're responsible for a lot of things and a lot of people. She didn't remind me about that. She just said, we're going to figure it out. And 2.5 years later, my law practice had been, I had wound down the practice. I stopped practicing law entirely. I was the CEO of one of the world's largest personal and business development training companies. I was traveling around the world training and speaking on the topic of personal and business reinvention. I wrote a book called Pivot, The Art and Science of Reinventing Your Career and Life. And things changed drastically. But it all really started from that moment in time when I just could no longer tolerate looking at myself in the mirror and realizing that my life was not what I had planned it to be. So the book is all about that journey, and not just my own, but a number of case studies of other people, including one of the co-founders of Airbnb, who was a student at one of our programs once. We got to meet and discuss his journey. And so it's a story about a lot of other people who are reinventing. And I'm sure your audience is no different than my own audience on my podcast. There are lots of people today who are making changes in life, and that's a wonderful thing. So I really appreciate the opportunity to discuss the reinvention process with you and your community as well.
And it's through reinventing ourselves that we're able to basically tap into some of the big goals and accomplish the big goals that we set for ourselves. And I mean, some cases like the reinvention, the pivot on the road to the potential we define for ourselves is like, it can be really challenging at certain times. It can seem impossible at first glance. So how can we be resilient through the pivot and through some of the challenges that we may have to face along the way?
Yeah, I think, Mark, that's honestly the best question you could possibly ask, because I was just recently at a business conference and had the opportunity to train and work with teenagers, so from about 12 on up to 18 years old. And along the way, as I'm teaching business, and I've been a serial entrepreneur and business owner and an executive and all that kind of thing since I'm 15 years old, so a lot of years of experience in that arena. And I said, look, the most important thing I can tell you is that you've got to be resilient. That to be successful today, the key, as far as I'm concerned, is to build a bridge forward. And that bridge is going to be made of resilience. It's going to represent resilience. And I said to them, look, the road ahead is dark. It's unknown. It's winding. It's got all kinds of precarious situations that lie ahead that you're not aware of, cliffs, sheer cliffs, you know, holes, potholes, every kind of thing you can imagine that would take you out, or has the opportunity to take you out, stop you, get you to quit, have you feel humiliated, have you feel as though you've made the wrong choice. All those kinds of things are on the road ahead. We just don't know where they are. And the only thing that will ensure that you feel fulfilled, that you feel successful in the end, is that you are able to continue forward, that you have developed resilience in order to be able to do that. So becoming resilient is the key. In fact, there was a Harvard Business Review article that was written a few years back. It was based on a 20-year study of both corporate folks, people that are executives and business owners, as well as the best athletes in the world, top performing athletes, people that won gold medals in the Olympics, people that won every championship you can think of in golf and tennis and every other area. And what they found over this 20-year study was that athletes, top performing athletes, the winners, in other words, had one thing in common, and that was their ability to recover physically, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually, that they had rituals for recovery. And they compared that to the jobs of people in every corporate arena you can imagine. And they found that the stress levels in the corporate arena were higher, even higher than the stress levels in professional sports or in performance sports. And they equated the two things and found that it was exactly the same. When they looked at them, they could find that the correlation was identical, that people that had rituals to recover were able to bounce back, were able to come back even stronger from setbacks than the people that did not. And in the long run, to be successful in business, you've got to be able to pivot. You've got to be able to pivot almost continuously, which means you've got to be able to iterate new things. You've got to be able to innovate new things. You've got to be able to survive the disruption that is almost constant. It is certainly ever present today, that change in our world, that disruption in our business world and in our markets and in our personal lives is almost constant. It's almost chronic. And I love the quote that Ram Dass shared years ago, that you've got to make friends with change. And I truly believe that making friends with change, making change your best friend, in other words, not resisting change, but instead embracing change, is the key to success.
And change is just something that's always going to happen. So if we really do embrace it, as Adam said, it can have a really big impact on our ability to pivot on the road to our full potential and the life that we truly want to live. And I mean, I feel like a lot of the reason why people don't necessarily make that pivot and don't necessarily live up to their true potential is that they have certain limiting beliefs that may hold them back, or they may think that I can't do this right now, I'm safe where I am. So how can we change our beliefs so that we're able to make big pivots within our lives?
Yeah. Well, Mark, I would say just identifying the fact that we are very much a product of our beliefs and our behaviors. So the book Pivot, in fact, is divided up into two sections with a guide at the end, with an action plan and a guide at the end, a 21-day action plan. But the first two parts are all about what it takes to create clarity, because we can't go anyplace in our lives. So using the analogy of driving, if we're driving on the road up to any place and we can't see out of the windshield, we have to slow down or stop. And often people are, in fact, riding in their lives in the slow lane. They feel as though they're not living their full potential. They might even feel as though they're living a mediocre life because they're driving so slowly. And other people are actually stopped on the side of the road because they're just lacking in any clarity, and they don't know which way to turn or which way to go next. And I love that old quote, I think it's George Harrison, that said that if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So there's no question we've got to clear the windshield to create enough clarity to see ahead, to be able to drive in the fast lane, or at least to be able to stay on the road toward what we want. So the first part is those beliefs. The second part is really about behaviors. And that for me is the analogy of momentum. And when I think about what it takes to be able to get to where you want in life, to be able to drive down that road, you've got to have that clarity. You have to be able to recognize there are certain beliefs that you have that are limiting you. And then you've got to know by intuition or otherwise that to change something in your life, you've got to do something different. And that means taking baby steps. That means being able to get into momentum, create momentum, and then stay in momentum. And I love the analogy of dominoes. You know, when you've ever seen dominoes that are set up, it's pretty cool to see them knock each other over. You know, one small tip, one domino will knock over the next one and the next one and so on. And I think the world record is more than 1 million dominoes. So it's pretty amazing when you think about 1 million dominoes being knocked over by just the tipping of one. That's the beginning of the story, but it's not the whole story. It's Newton's law of momentum. You know, body in motion tends to stay in motion. Body at rest tends to stay at rest. But what it doesn't say is that a domino that's only about 1/2 inch, or maybe even 3/8 of an inch high, not only will knock over another domino that's equal size, but it has the physical capacity to knock over another domino that's 1.5 times its size, which means that you could start out with a domino that's literally less than 1/2 inch tall. And by the 28th domino, meaning that domino will knock over another one 1.5 times its size, and that'll knock over yet another one 1.5 times its size. And by the time you get to the 28th domino, that domino, that 28th domino, is the size of the Empire State Building. So what that tells you is that taking baby steps, being able to create clarity, and then move in a direction, one step at a time, even though those are baby steps, those baby steps lead to slightly larger baby steps. And by the time you're at the 28th step in that process, the steps that you are taking over the course of 3 months or 6 months or a year, or in my case, 2.5 years later, I guess I was a slow learner, are massive steps. So I went from being a very unfulfilled and unhappy lawyer to 2.5 years later, running a company that was a sort of a dream job for me, traveling around the world, speaking to thousands of people, getting paid very, very well to do it. And more importantly, doing something that made my heart sing, something that I knew deep down inside was my calling. So, you know, in the end, when I look back on that period of my life, instead of having a midlife crisis, I got a midlife calling. And the way that happened for me was starting with this awareness that I was not happy with where I was, and was looking at where it is that my own belief systems were limiting me. And that's an examination. So starting with that place of asking questions and being aware, and then looking at where it is that I was relative to where I wanted to be in the future. So where I was not where I wanted to be. And then looking at the fact that there was this gap, and looking at what it might be that I could do that would close the gap. And so long story short is that I built something different. There's often this advice, especially in the space of personal development or in the reinvention conversation, where people say you've got to really commit. You've got to sort of go all in. You've got to burn the ships, or you've got to jump ship. There are all those kinds of statements that people in the space will make, and that other people will think, you know, that's the way to do it. And my own view is that that's a myth. That those statements about having to burn the ships or jump ship or quit your job, quit your career, move to Fiji or whatever it is, chase after your passion, I think so much of that is actually false and does nothing but bring up fear and actually stoke the fires of fear inside of us, which more often than not keeps people stuck. To me, the way that you reinvent your life is one baby step at a time, or as I like to describe sometimes, building a second bridge while your first bridge is still operational. So you're still doing your day job. You're still working on whatever it is that you're doing that's supporting your life, at least financially and maybe in other ways, while you're building this bridge to a second destiny. And so that's exactly what I did. I kept my law practice open. I didn't abandon my job. I didn't abandon my clients. And I built this second plan alongside the first one. And that's how I was able to recreate or reinvent a number of things that would have seemed impossible at the beginning.
And it's really interesting you mentioned the dominoes, how something really small, like that small little step, can have a really big impact when you compound it over time. And I really liked how you talked about that gap, because I feel like people have the gap from like where they are, as you were in the past, like maybe not happy with where you are right now. You want to reinvent yourself, tap into the potential that you know is inside of you. So like you talked about how you had the law practice still and you were busy building that second bridge. How did you find the extra time to build that second bridge? Did you spend less time with the practice and you were building a second bridge with that extra time? Like, how did you do that?
Yeah, that's a really practical and a great question, Mark, because I don't get asked that question that often. So I was doing a combination of two things. One is that I cut things out of my schedule. So there were things that I was doing when I looked at more closely at how I was spending my time. And I was looking at those things and saying, I don't really need to spend 3 hours on Sunday watching football anymore. I just didn't need to do that. In fact, I almost cut TV entirely out of my life for a period of years. I didn't entirely cut it out. It was still some things that I like to watch on TV, and I still do to this day. But TV is a huge waste of our time in many ways. I'm not saying all TV, but the bulk of it, like 80% of it, is a waste of our time. I was looking at other areas where I could be more efficient. I started to manage, not so much manage time, because I'm not actually a great manager of time. I can bend time, as some people know about me. I have a way of just squeezing a lot of things in and being able to do a lot of things. And primarily that's not because I manage time, but I manage priorities. And so priority management became a bit of my mantra. I started to just look at the things I most wanted to do. And if anything was going to get squeezed out, if anything wasn't going to make it onto the calendar, onto the agenda, or you know, just wasn't going to get done, it was going to be things that were marginally important to me. So I started to look at what were the critical inch. What is the critical inch in my day? I remember reading that in one of the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books. It was a Richard Carlson book, I believe, where he posed that question. What is the critical inch? What's the most important thing of the day? What's the most important two or three things you want to accomplish during the day? And I wrote that on a little sticky, and I put it on my computer. I remember I had this huge, big CPU, big monitor, old computer. I had it written there. I had it on my copy machine. I had it on the mirror in the bathroom. I had it on the rear view mirror in my car. I was asking for many months that question, what is the critical inch? And so I started to manage my priorities differently. And once I did that, I had more free time to do what I really wanted to do, which was to build this second bridge. Also, I started to develop a plan that over time just became real. At the beginning, it was more just a kind of a fantasy, which was, what would it be like if I actually closed down my law practice and was doing something else that was earning me at least as much money, if not more money, but that was really aligned with whatever my heart was telling me I should be doing at this time and what I could be doing to just be a better person and to add more value in the world. And once I started to ask those better questions, I started to get guidance. I stopped being so much coming from a place of guardedness, which was how I was raised. I grew up in New York. I grew up in the city. I was bullied when I was a kid. I was a lawyer, so I was used to being people trying to bully me, and other lawyers, and they didn't do well at that. You know, I learned how to defend myself when I was a kid. I learned how to defend myself even as a small business owner in law practice. I was a lifeguard at Jones Beach. I learned how to guard. I was great at guarding myself, guarding my heart, guarding my clients, guarding money, guarding all those things. I was living a very guarded life. But when I started to ask these questions and I started to be more aware and more open, I started to want more guidance. And I started to actually believe. So you asked me this question about what needs to change or what could change in your belief system that might lead you somewhere else. Well, one of my beliefs was that I could be guided to where it is that I wanted to go, that I didn't need to necessarily have the intelligence in the moment to figure it out. I didn't need to have all the answers in the moment, that I could be guided to it, that I could have faith in it, that if I was simply following my heart and I was following this very, I couldn't even call it a voice, but just this feeling inside that there was something more for me and that I could actually maintain my lifestyle, not have to sell my homes or tell my kids that they weren't going to be able to go on vacations just because I was wanting to be more fulfilled, that all of the things that we wanted in life, including the material things, could be there at the same time that I was doing something that was much more purpose-driven. When I started to believe that that was possible and I started to believe that I would be guided to it, things began to change. And I lived a less guarded life. I opened my heart. I became more vulnerable and more open. And then magically or miraculously or from a place of spirit, I was guided to those new things. And it's been that way ever since. In fact, I'm writing a new book called Embrace, which is all about that process of actually taking the guidance, of learning to receive the guidance and how it is that you receive the guidance. And in fact, it's the next step along the pivot path. And that book will come out in about a year and a half from now. And it'll really take that the pivot process even beyond where we took it in the first book to that place of not so much sitting and meditating and waiting for things to tell you what to do, but just being so much more open-hearted and so much less in resistance to change. In fact, looking at change again as your best friend, so the embracing process leads you continuously down a path where you feel in love with your life, in love with living, in love with so many things versus where I used to come from, which was this place of being vigilant all the time and being guarded and on guard. You know, like the way you live in New York and I lived there for many, many years, where you watch people on the street sometimes, their body language tells you so much about where they're coming from. You know, they don't make eye contact. They're not smiling. They're sort of walking with this great purpose and really, just sort of oblivious to so many things as they go about their day. So in any event, yes, there is a process to get granular, to find more time for the things that you want to do, even while you maintain your responsibilities to people and to business.
And I really like how you mentioned having that vision for yourself, where you don't have to sacrifice things to achieve what you want. You don't have to sacrifice the vacations and the important things. It's just a matter of reprioritizing your time so that you can still achieve the main objectives and holding that first bridge strong as you can build the second bridge and eventually making that pivot. But one of the things I want to ask you, because I mean, books are a really great way to learn. So what do you believe are three great books that will have a positive impact on us?
Oh, beautiful. Well, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer is a great book. In fact, I've read that book now four or five times. I love that book, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. I gave a book away when I became the CEO of this company a few years back. I gave some books out to our employees, and one of them was called Karmic Management. So this is a wonderful book for business owners, entrepreneurs, and employees. So doesn't matter in that sense. It's got incredible principles about how it is that you can conduct business in a wonderful new way, in an ethical way, in a way that just, again, feels feels right on the inside. So karmic management, and there's three authors, and I'll just give you one of the author's name is McNally. Just blanking on the first name, but karmic management is the name of the book. And there's another book that some people have read, a lot of people have heard of, not that many people maybe have read it to conclusion. I say that about any book. A lot of people sort of 50 page. That's one of the things we call out in Pivot is the habit, the limiting behavior of starting a book and not finishing it, going kind of two chapters deep into something and then getting distracted, starting something else or quitting, whatever it is, just not finishing. So this book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek, is a wonderful book to finish, to read, start, and finish, all about how it is that people are really motivated and what it is that drives them to become your clients, your customers, your employees, your partners, all of that, and how it is that you speak a vision. Because I think it is very, very important that we all learn how to do that even better all the time. And that book is wonderful with a number of different concepts, such as that people don't buy from you based on your product or service. They buy from you based on their belief that you believe what they believe. And that's a really interesting concept, that people buy from you because they believe what you believe is radical in many ways. So, you know, having a superior product doesn't necessarily even mean that people you'll be the one, you know, the best of class or the one that's cornered the market in that particular space. What really determines whether something is widely shared, whether it's popular, whether it's whether it goes viral, has a lot to do with whether or not people believe at the root what you as a company believe, what you stand for. So people are rabid about Apple products. Now, I think some Apple products are superior to others, but there are people who would argue that. In fact, my son, who's a Samsung user, he uses, he's been trying to get me to leave the iPhone for years and years and years. And of course, just, you know, in the last year and a half or so, because Samsung had some problems with some of their phones, I got to kind of poke fun at him. But I really, you know, when I looked at the things on his phone and what he could do with his phone and the camera, you know, it was superior to the iPhone in a lot of ways. But there's something about the culture of Apple products. There's something about the look and the feel of them. And it feels like what they believe is what I believe. Like, what's important to them is also important to me. And so I've been a loyal Apple customer for more years, it's at least 15 years at this point. And we spent a lot of money on laptops and this thing and that thing and whatnot. And I really believe that it's because their why is in many ways similar to my why. And I think a lot of people are loyal to Apple products because of that. But they're also loyal to Windows products because of the same thing. Or they're loyal to the PC. Or they're loyal to whatever product or service they are loyal to, because at the root they believe that the culture of the company, that the leadership of the company is in alignment with what they believe. And so Start With Why by Simon Sinek is a great book. Karmic Management would be a great book to a companion book to that as well. And a book that's just pure joy to read, and a book that you will grow from in ways that you cannot even imagine. Just exponential growth will come from reading The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
Adam, thanks for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will be in the show notes, markbirdie.com/E260. We'll also throw in Podcast Domination there for anyone interested in growing, launching, and monetizing a podcast, markbirdie.com/PD for anyone who is interested. And before we wrap up this interview, Adam, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, beautiful. Well, I'm going to answer that question, and then, of course, I've got a beautiful gift to share with your folks that'll actually be a perfect follow-up to this question. So the question is, how do I want to experience myself being today? And we all know what it's like to be doing, and we're doing a lot. And oftentimes we can lose a lot of time in our lives doing things and then find that we're far down the road of life or, you know, what have you. We've done a lot, but we're still not fulfilled. We're still not happy. The road that I was on, in essence. So the question that I began to ask myself, and I ask myself every single day when I begin, you know, doing my morning ritual, my morning, the way that I create resilience for myself in the moment that I wake up in the morning, is starting with that question, which is, how do I want to experience myself being today? And the gift that I have for your folks is a series of questions, so six questions on top of the one that I've just shared with you. And these six questions are a part of a Kickstart guide that we have, where folks can find out, by answering those questions, where they are in their own reinvention process, whether that's a personal reinvention or a business reinvention. Either of those two things, you'll get great clarity out of answering these six questions. And your folks can answer those questions for themselves at startmypivot.com, startmypivot.com. They'll get those six questions. It's a downloadable guide, Kickstart guide, which also has a lot of information about our morning routine. So the morning rituals to create resilience, to create that greater ability to bounce back, and to be able to iterate and innovate continuously. That's also contained in this Kickstart guide. There's nothing for sale there. It's just a gift to your folks at startmypivot.com.
Adam, thank you for sharing that question, the great resource, the Pivot Kickstart guide, which will be in the show notes. You can also check out Adam's book, Pivot, which will also be in the show notes. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing all the great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks for having me.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn